Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Hey, thanks so much for listening in to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast this morning. My name's John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas, and we hope that God is blessing your life, that you are walking closely with Him, that you are full of joy and hope and the peace of God that transcends all understanding. You know how you do that? You walk by faith. You walk by faith in the Word of God, being led by the Spirit of God, and putting your hope and your trust in God and keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. Those are just a few of the ways that the Scriptures teach us how to live. But before we start in Hebrews chapter 11 this morning, I wanted to go back to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, and I love the way that the book of Psalms starts out with this first psalm. It says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Now, of course, this isn't just gender exclusive. This would be, blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. This would include men and women, of course. But here's the thing about it, is that the psalmist says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Why? Because that's not a way of faith. That's not a way of faith. The way of the world is the way of seeing things, and it's not by faith, but it's by sight, and it's by touch, and it's by feel, and it's by whatever makes you feel good, and it's whatever is going to make you happy. And the Lord says, you know, I want you to walk in my ways. I want you to delight in my ways because they're right ways, they're true ways, they're excellent ways and praiseworthy ways. And so blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight, okay, is in the Lord. Is in the Lord, is in his word, is in his will. And the Bible says he's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Okay, you know, there's great joy in serving the Lord right now. And the consequences of not are also included there. Not so the wicked, they're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. They're going to stand and be judged. They're going to stand and give an account of their life before God. But, you know, we don't want to stand before God without his grace, without the blood of Christ, without wanting to delight in the Lord. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And friends, as we've said so many times before, and I'll say again, this is a matter of choice. This is something that God wants us to choose. He doesn't force us to walk in his ways. He wants us to. He desires. He wants all men to come to a knowledge of the truth and to walk in his ways and to come under the blood of Jesus Christ. He wants all people to do that. And yet, he's not going to force anybody to do that. Remember, Hebrews chapter 11, 1, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Okay, even though we don't have all of the promises that God has given us in Christ fulfilled yet, so many of them already are. And we need to stand on those promises. And we need to be sure of what we hope for. I am so looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. I'm so looking forward when all of the enemies of Christ will be put under his feet. And the last enemy, death, will finally be done away with. I'm hoping for that with all my heart. I'm sure of it. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know it will. And I'm going to be faithful until death. And I want to encourage you to be faithful to death as well. So faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. Now, remember last week we started talking about the faith of Moses. And we talked about, first of all, the faith of Moses' parents. Verse 23 of chapter 11, it says, "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict." Okay, so, you know, there was just something special about Moses that they recognized. They saw that he was no ordinary child. Now, here's the thing about it. Frankly, every child is extraordinary. Every child is a treasure. Every child is a gift from God. And yet, something about Moses just was like, wow, okay? He was no ordinary child. And so, by faith in who they were and who Moses was as a descendant of Abraham, they hid him for 3 months, even though the Pharaoh had said all the Hebrew boys were to be destroyed. It says they were not afraid of the king's edict. And here's the thing. When people fear God, then guess what? It makes them less afraid of men, no matter what their position. And so they went against the king's edict because they were going to obey God rather than men. We talked about in verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Okay? He refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, this is an interesting thing because there's some other refusals of royal things in the Bible too. So here in Hebrews 11, verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Okay, here's another one. David. Remember little David when he went to fight Goliath and he told Saul, "Hey, you know, this uncircumcised Philistine is taunting the armies of God and I'm not afraid of him." Why? Well, because he knew God was with him. You know, out in the field, whenever the bear or the lion would come to steal a sheep, David went right after it and God delivered those into his hands. He's like, "He'll deliver this Philistine into my hands too." And so Saul wanted to dress him up in the royal armor and give him his sword and all of his armor. And David said, no, I'm not used to all that. He refused Saul's armor in 1 Samuel 17, verse 39. Another one that refused something royal was Daniel. Okay, remember in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8 that he had resolved in his heart not to defile himself with the king's food. And so even though I'm sure it was a succulent feast, Daniel said, "Nope, I'm not going to do it. My God has given me certain dietary laws, and I'm going to keep those even though I'm not in Jerusalem anymore. And even though I'm in the palace of a man who doesn't believe in God, I'm going to turn all of his royal food down and resolve to do what God wants me to do." And then even Jesus himself, okay, when he was here, remember over in John chapter 6 and verse 15, after the feeding of the 5,000, the people were so taken with him that it says that they intended to come and make him king by force. Okay, so Jesus turned all that down. He dismissed the crowd. He sent his apostles away. And he said, I don't want to have anything to do with that. Well, of course, because that wasn't his purpose for coming, was those things. And so Moses turned down the royal adoption. David turned down the royal armor. Daniel turned down the royal table. And Jesus turned down the royal crown of the people, if you would, because they all had something far greater in their minds. Their desire, their delight was to listen to God and to keep God's word. And so, by faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That couldn't have been easy. I mean, come on, living in a palace and the education and all of the privileges and all the fanfare and popularity, I'm sure. But guess what? He also had learned about and been taught about his background. And he said, okay, this is far better than that. We have to make choices about our eternal destiny. And so verse 25, we talked about he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Because that's all they are. They're just pleasurable for a short time, and then they come back and bite you. And ultimately, sin cannot be in God's presence. And so everything that's sinful and wicked and ungodly, just like we read in Psalm 1, it's just like chaff that the wind's going to drive away. And God's going to completely remove every wicked thing out of his kingdom at its culmination. And they will all go into darkness, and God's people will continue to live in everlasting light. So again, it was Moses' choice. And it says in verse 26 that he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Some of those prophecies to Abraham had implications that were way, way down the road, thousands of years down the road. And yet Moses had heard about this Messiah, about this king that was going to come into the world to deliver his people. And so he was looking ahead to his reward. And we've talked about that, and we'll continue to talk about that, that we need to look ahead to our reward. Hey, I hope you believe that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. Remember, we talked about that back in verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I hope that you're earnestly seeking him, but as you do that, I hope you know that, you know, there's a reward for that. It's not going to just be in vain. It's not that we're doing it just for the reward, of course, but it's just like when you do what's right and good and you do it without being told for your employer, well, maybe he'll give you an extra day off, or maybe he'll give you a raise, or maybe he'll promote you, okay? There's blessings from doing the right things. And young people, if you're listening this morning, hey, you know, if you obey your parents, if you'll do what's right, if you'll treat your parents with respect and honor, hey, maybe things will go a lot better for you too. But Moses was looking ahead to his reward, and we need to continue to look ahead to ours as well. Hey, we're going to listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by Owl City and Britt Nicole called You're Not Alone. And always remember that in this walk of faith, even though it may get difficult, even though it may be hard sometimes, even though you may have to go through disgrace and persecution and mocking and trials by the world, hey, we need to, like Moses did, and regard those as nothing compared to gaining Christ and looking ahead to our reward. So let's listen to them sing You're Not Alone.
Some days I barely hold on when life drags me down. I wanna let go, but when my spirit is weak, you come to my aid and strengthen my soul. I'm lost without you. I'll never doubt you. Your grace is beyond compare. And though when it rains it pours, you know all I have is yours. You smile when you hear my prayer. You rescued me, and I believe that God is love, and he is all I need from this day forth for all eternity. I'll never wander on my own, for I am yours until you call me home. I close my eyes and I can hear you say, you're not alone. Oh, you're not alone.
Some days I just can't go on. I stumble and fall, and I hang my head. But you reach out for my hand, and you lift me up again and again. Oh yes, you do.
I'm lost without you. I'll never doubt you.
one compared. And though when it rains it pours, you know all I have is yours. You smile when you hear my prayer. You rescued me.
This morning, and I sure hope you know that you're not alone, that you are walking and talking with the King as you live your life by faith in this present evil age. All right, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 27. It says, by faith, Moses, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Now, I believe this is talking about, obviously, not the first time he left Egypt, but the second time as he was getting ready to leave, not only by himself, not just by himself, of course, but with the whole nation of Israel that God had called him to bring out of Egypt. It says that he left Egypt not fearing the king's anger. Like we said earlier, the more that people fear God and honor God and give God glory and trust in the Lord, the less they fear men. You know, what can men do to us? And even if they do, we know that ultimately God's going to work all things out for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. And so we keep pressing on, regardless of how angry men may be at us. No matter if they persecute us or trample on us or try to make our lives miserable, we're going to just keep pressing on, because it says he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Okay, again, this is why Moses was able to do that. This is why in the next chapter, in chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Friend, I hope that's you, because, you know, there's plenty of things out there to get our eyes off of Christ. There's plenty of worldly, ungodly things and trials of life and temptations and every kind of thing that can come along that Satan has the desire to get us to get our eyes off of Christ. And we need to just keep right on looking by faith. We need to keep right on recognizing Christ, even though right now we can't see him. In fact, you know, over in 1 Peter chapter 1, this is what's so amazing about the Bible, is how it all fits together. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it talks about in verse 6 about our salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. It says, in this you greatly rejoice. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's the goal of our faith. Ultimately, the salvation of our souls. And that's why we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. That's why we look ahead to our reward. That's why we refuse the things of this world. That's why we say no to the passing pleasures of sin. That's why even though the world may be against us, we know that God is for us, and we keep persevering. We keep pressing on because we know that God wants us to be faithful. And that's what Moses did. Verse 28, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Now, this is a whole amazing story that is in Exodus, and we're getting into that on Sunday nights when we are able to. We're going through the book of Exodus right now. We're going through it verse by verse and learning about all that happened. And this is an amazing chapter. But by faith, Moses kept the Passover. How did he do that? Well, God told him what must be done. He told him he was going to bring this last plague on Pharaoh and Egypt, and all of the firstborn of Egypt would die. And yet, the Passover was instituted so that after they had sacrificed the lamb for the family or families, that they would take that blood of the lamb and put it over the doorposts and around the lintels, so that when death came through the land, that when it saw the blood, it would pass over those that were inside the house. And so, wow, what a fearful thing that would be. And yet by faith, Moses believed it, and the people of Egypt or the people of Israel believed it as well. And so that must have been quite the scary thing. I remember an old series of film strips we used to show, the Jewel Miller film strips, and that scene, it shows Dad putting the blood on the doorpost, and his son is standing right there next to him, his little boy, and it's almost kind of like if the film strip could speak, if it was a moving video, the little boy would be like, Dad, why don't you get a little more up there? How about a little bit more on the sides? You sure you got enough? Make sure it's very clear, okay? Why? Well, because his life depended on it. And so, again, by faith, Moses and all of Israel kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And he didn't when he came through the land. The destroyer, the death, the angel that brought death, that he left Israel alone because they had obeyed God, because they had persevered in obedience instead of unbelief and distrust. And so because of that, God brought them out of Egypt, and remember, they went down to the Red Sea. Verse 29, it says, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. So even after they had come out of Egypt, okay, Pharaoh changed his mind one more time and went after them. Okay, well, that's not that much different than when God delivers us from our sin. You think Satan just leaves us alone at that point? No, he's constantly hounding us. He's constantly coming after us. He's trying to overcome us and to get us to get our eyes off Christ. He wants us to get all tied up and tangled in sin again, because he knows when that happens, then we're ineffective and unproductive for Christ. Okay, and that's not what Christ wants us to be. And so again, we have a choice, don't we? And so when God opened up that path through the Red Sea, when Moses struck the water and whoom, and boy, here it was. Here was a path of deliverance through the water for God's people. And they went through. Now, I don't know about you, but that must have been an awesome, fearful sight. And yet, this was what God chose and how he chose to deliver them. Okay, the Egyptians came in after them, and, you know, again, like the chaff that's driven away by the wind, the Egyptians were drowned as they tried to overcome Israel all over again. And this is what God's going to do to everything that sets itself up against Christ, that everything that sets itself up against the kingdom of God is ultimately going to be put down. And so, friends, we need to live by faith. And again, I hope that if you're not living by faith this morning, that you'll say, hey, I need to start seeking God. I need to seek God's will for my life. I need to learn what faith is and how to live by faith. I need to learn about Jesus so I can get my eyes fixed on him. Amen. All right, let's listen to our last song this morning. This is by Mandis. It's called Beautiful Day. And that's exactly what it is when we walk in faith before Jesus Christ. Let's listen.
and smile, 'cause it's been a while. It's been like a whole day since I stopped so you could hold me. But this child awaits, strong in the faith. Lord, you are the refuge that I can't wait to get to, 'cause I can't let a day go. Can't let a day go by without thanking you for the joy that you bring to my life. And ooh, there's something about the way your sun shines on my face. It's a love so true, I can never get enough of you. This feeling can't be wrong. I'm about to get my worship on, take me away. It's a beautiful day. Seems to rain on my dreams. It's not a big deal. Let it wash all the bugs off my windshield. 'Cause you're showing me that in you I'm free, and you're still the refuge that I've just got to get to. So I won't let a day go, won't let a day go by. So put the drop top down, turn it up, I'm ready to fly. And something about the way your love shines on my face. Oh no, I can never get enough of you. This feeling can't be wrong. I'm about to get my worship on. I'm gonna sing a brand new song. Yeah, I'm about to get my worship on. Take me away on this beautiful day.
We're back this morning, and I hope that every day is a beautiful day for you, because you wake up with the Lord Jesus Christ and you get your eyes fixed on him and you go through life with joy and with something to live for and something to look forward to. Doesn't mean that everything's always going to be easy, and there's going to be times of sadness and sorrow and terror and everything else on all kinds of fronts. And yet we can overcome all of those things through Christ. That's what he calls us to do. To be an overcomer, okay? We're the Church of Las Vegas, and we meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We just had a new guest with us on Wednesday night that had heard the broadcast and got online and found out about us. She came on Wednesday night. We're so glad to have her, and we want her and all the rest of you that have listened over the years to come on out. Come and join us as we worship God and praise him and learn his word. You can find more out about us at thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. And until we get together next week again, Lord willing, God bless you. May he strengthen you and keep you in his care. Keep standing on the solid rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.